But I am going to read a passage from Mark today, Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. And so you just, you know, for those of you who have memorized it entirely, just dial up in your mind where verse 35 is. It's after Jesus has had all of the town come to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law's been healed, and lots of other people have been healed, and they've gone to bed. And then the story picks up in verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, if you haven't yet succeeded in downloading the church app, I want you to have a go at doing that while I'm speaking now. So go to encounterbaptist.org.au, scroll down to the thing, tap on the iOS or the Play Store link, and hopefully you'll download the app, because we're going to be referring to it later in my sermon. We're in through October, we've been looking at the theme of living for Jesus Monday to Saturday. And we've been looking at a few different things about that, because we've been inspired by the example of Jesus, who in his whole life lived in unity with the Father. He was in sync with the Father. A bit like, you know, one of the best things I like about Olympics and things like that is the diving. But one of the amazing things about the diving is the synchronized diving, you know. It's funny when they get out of sync, you know, and they go all over the place, and if they splash down really hard, it can be amusing for the observer. But when they nail it and they spin in unison and they go into the water in unison, there's a bubble entry and everyone, it's amazing, right? The in sync experience. And God, Jesus, as we looked at last week, prays for us in John chapter 17, that we would be one with them, just as Jesus lived in total unity with the Father. And so we've been looking at some things that try and help us grow into that life, so that Christianity or our life with God isn't just in the religious times on a Sunday morning or a small group or wherever else, but it actually begins to grow and begins to more and more permeate all of our lives. And the first time we looked at it was that we're encouraging people to essentially construct three tent poles of prayer in your day. And in doing this, all we're doing is we're copying masters. We're copying people like Daniel in the Old Testament, who prayed three times a day. We're copying the wisdom that was written in the Didache, an early Christian text from about 900 AD, where they encourage people to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. And the idea in our app, in our prayer framework that we handed out today, you'll see that there's stuff for morning, the middle of the day, and in the evening. You see, if we, it doesn't have to be like lots of time, but if we say, I'm going to try and have a prayer meal at the beginning of the day, a prayer meal, maybe a short snack in the middle of the day, and another prayer meal at the end of the day, we'll have three prayer meals a day. And when we frame our days with prayer, it then becomes much easier, and it'll become more of your experience, that the time in between, you'll find, begins to be permeated with prayer as well. All right? So it's some of you will find that you've got plenty of time in the morning to spend 15, 20 minutes in prayer. Others of us, like me, who's not a morning person, that's not the case. All right? Others of you will think, well, I've got some downtime in the middle of the day, so I've got time for a longer prayer time in the middle of the day. And others of you will say, well, actually, when the kids are in bed or I've finished everything for the day, I've got some time for prayer in the end of the day. So what you will find is that of these three meals, one will probably be bigger than the others. These prayer meals, one will be bigger than the others. But we want you to have a go at doing all three, even if it's only for 30 seconds, right? Because it's like a course correction. You know, when you're sailing a boat and you're trying to get from one place to the next, you constantly check how you're going relative to the island or the reef you're trying to avoid or whatever else, right? And if you just try and build the habit in your day of three prayer meals a day, it'll frame your day. You'll find that you will more successfully live a with God life through each hour of your day. So that's the framing, if you like, of your days. Then last week we looked at two W's and a C, and fortunately Chris Elliott came up afterwards and said, gave me a W word, so I'm going to trot it out today, so I'm crediting Chris. And that is, in these in-between, not only do we need to frame our days, but we also need to take God into our days in other ways, and that's in our worries. Because Jesus taught in chapter 6 of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry about what you're going to eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. And we're encouraging you to, when you find yourself worrying about whatever it is, use that as a trigger to turn your heart and mind back to God and to his kingdom and his purposes and his resources. Because Jesus' antidote to worry was, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And some of us are really, some of us are world-class worriers, aren't we? Right? And so if you could think to yourself, every time I find myself worrying, I'm going to turn my heart and mind to God, you're going to fill your days with God much faster than the rest of us. One of the upsides, I guess, of being a world-class worrier, if you take this approach. The second thing is your work. And we looked at the example last week in Luke chapter 4 of Jesus interrupting and giving advice to Peter about his field of expertise, which was fishing. They'd fished all night and caught nothing, and Jesus gave them some extraordinary advice which every fisherman knows you shouldn't follow, which is go and try and fish in the middle of the day. That's not the time to catch fish, right? But Jesus is the expert at fishing, and Jesus is the expert at whatever your work is, whether it's paid work or unpaid work. Whether it's you're going to an office or going to a work site, or whether you're raising a family, or in a biblical sense, your work is whatever you're doing that produces good. So it might be you're gardening, or you're going and catching up for a coffee with a friend. Whatever your work is in your life, whether you're retired or not, Jesus is the expert at it. And if you try and develop a habit of saying, Jesus, I want your wisdom about how to do this work, you will take Jesus into your much more of your life, right? So your worries and your work. And the third one, thanks Chris, is your washing up. And that's your chores, right? And we talked last week about when you're doing chores, when you're doing washing up, when you're having a shower, when you're doing whatever it is, turn that into a prayer in some way. When you're washing the dishes, thank you, God, that I have dishes to wash. As I'm cleaning the dirt off these dishes, Lord, please clean the dirt out of my life. And in fact, Lord, in our wider society, where there's rubbish going on, Lord, get rid of it out of our society and make our society pure and clean. And you can pray that while you're washing the dishes. You don't have to set aside extra time for prayer. You can turn your chores into prayers. And if we do these things, if we frame our day, morning, noon and night, and if we bring God into our worries, our work and our chores, or our washing up, we will find that more and more of our life is filled with God. And Brother Lawrence, who was that basically unknown dish pig, person who did the washing up in the kitchen of a monastery hundreds of years ago, that was his humble job. He had learned so to permeate God in every moment of his day that at times he would have to say, God, less of it, please. I'm too overcome by the joy and the ecstasy of your presence. Wouldn't it be great to get to the point where we actually have to say, God, a bit less, tone it down a bit. But it is possible to get there. Even if you're just a humble, uneducated, war-wounded person who does the washing up. The third thing that I want us to keep in mind today, as we try and permeate our Mondays to Saturdays with the life of God, is that the processes that Jesus lived his life with are deeply true. And they are true in whatever realm that you are engaged in and not just the religious realm. And I want us to reflect again on these three things which are common in the life of our church. We cover them in many different ways, but I want to give you a slightly different twist to them. And the reason I ask you to fire up the app is that we have a little handout tool that we give people in our church. It's a little triangle tool here, right? And there's a few copies of it available in the foyer. But if you open your app, so pull out your phone and you open your app, in the resource section of the app, so that's the fourth tab along from the left or the second tab along from the right, you will see then there's a list of resources, and one of them is the triangle handout. And so if you tap on that, it'll then come up in your app like that. All right? So that's what it should look like on your screen when you get to it. And so you don't have to take around the bit of paper and lose it or whatever. It'll be in your pocket or your purse in your phone all the time. And we want to... There's lots more details on it than that, but the three things that I want you to remember from this is that there's three tools that help us in our Christian life, but can also help you in your everyday life, in your work life, in your family life. And the first one is the triangle, which is the actual shape of the thing. And it's got, at the top, it's got up, in, and out. Which up is our life with God, in is our life with God's people in the church, and out is our life with a lost and broken world. Right? And often they get out of balance. Sometimes we'll have great relationships with people in church and great relationships with our neighbours, but our life with God is weak, so we'll need to strengthen it. Sometimes our life with God is great and our life with our neighbours is great, but our engagement with church is weak and we'll have to strengthen it. Sometimes our prayer time's great and our church involvement is great, but we don't actually know any non-Christians and never talk to them, and so we'll need to strengthen that. But this is deeply true in your workplace as well, and not just in a religious sense. There's three dimensions to your workplace that you might like to keep in mind. Firstly, I like to suggest its purpose, right? So whatever workplace you're in, there is some deep purpose. And I'm not just talking about the headline corporate speak, but what's the good that that organisation is doing? If it's a school, the deep goodness that they're doing is educating and forming children, right? You're working for the trains, the deep good that you're doing is transporting people to and from the different aspects of their life, helping people connect together. You know, if you're a lawyer, your deep good is working a system that's just and fair for people. Right? So there's the purpose. And then there's the people. The people in your organisation. Right? And then there's the product. What you're actually producing. And that can be services or actual widgets or whatever else it is. It could be, you know, transporting people, or it could be making cars or whatever. And so when you engage in your work, you can be thinking about this. And sometimes organisations forget their purpose, don't they? And they get consumed by internal politics. Or sometimes they forget the consumer or whatever else. They get out of balance. And so just in your workplace, you can use this simple triangle tool. It's true for your spiritual life, but it's also true in your work life, that you can use it to help diagnose problems and where things are out of balance and things are out of whack. And if you find yourself frustrated with your work, maybe you can just use it to say, okay, God, remind me of the deep purpose of why we're here. Help me to pray that the politics will be sorted out, God, and help us to meet our customers' and clients' needs better. If you're a parent, you can use a triangle to remind yourself that what your children need is love, and then a balance of discipline and freedom. And there's three elements to that there. So whether your work is paid work in an office, or your work is in family or with friends or whatever else, there's three dimensions to it. The deeper purpose of it, how you're going in relating to each other, and then how you're spreading that goodness out to others, if you like. And we see this in the passage we read in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus balanced these three dimensions of life. He's off in the morning praying with his Heavenly Father. And then he's gathering with his disciples. And then he's off preaching in the synagogues around Galilee. He's up in and out. His balance for his ministry. So that triangle, which is in our little handout, and it's in the app, really simple way for you to reflect on your work, paid or unpaid, and to engage with it in a meaningful way. The second thing we notice from this passage is that Jesus started with rest. He started with abiding with his Heavenly Father. And so if you scroll down in the app, or you open the physical triangle on the inside, you'll then see that there's a semicircle, right? And this is a biblical pattern that we rest. There's a rhythm of life between resting and working, between abiding and bearing fruit. And our framework of our prayer, the end of the day framework of our prayer, says at the beginning of the day. In the evening it says, at the beginning of this new day, God, as I go to sleep, I trust you to run my universe for me. The Jewish concept of a day, it starts in the evening, and so the very first part of your day is resting. The very first part of your day is letting God run the universe rather than you trying to manage your own world by yourself. And so you can take this rhythm into your workplace. I was reading an article, I can't remember where it was, but I'd read it previously and I saw it again just last week or the week before, and it talked about CEOs. And now, not all of us are CEOs, but many times CEOs said, the place I get my best ideas is in the shower. Right, so their days are full of meetings and strategy meetings and planning and this and that and everything else, but the place where they often got their best ideas was not in the brainstorming sessions, was not in the committee meetings or the board meetings or whatever else, it was in the shower, where they were away from their work, where they're away from everything else, where they were in solitude and where they were in rest. And it's in those places that they're able to sort through the things in their mind, or the thing just clicked, or whatever else. And so when you're trying to do your work well, whatever it is, think about, how can I build this rhythm into my life? How can I make space for rest and abiding? Not just in a spiritual sense, but in a sense, because it's deeply true. You see, God's truth works wherever it is. It's not just in church, it works everywhere. And so we see Jesus abiding with his Heavenly Father. Now, all naturally would have, like the night before, there'd been a healing revival, right? Jesus had been in the synagogue earlier on in the day. He'd cast out a demon out of a person. He'd gone back to Simon Peter's house, healed Simon's mother-in-law, and then the whole village turned up, bringing every sick person with them. And he healed many with diseases and cast out many demons. I know if that was me, my deep temptation would be to do that again. That was pretty cool last night, let's do it again tomorrow. But no, the deeper thing that Jesus discerned that he needed to do was he actually needed to leave that place and go to some other villages to do it there as well. And if you build a time of rest and reflection and separation and abiding into your work with him, you might get some counterintuitive ideas. Now, I'm not just talking about like CEO level things, but you can just be the lowest of the low person on the bottom of the rung doing a menial job or whatever. But I know, and you know, that if you're doing that, there will be things in your job that are a problem. You know, that don't work well, that are inefficient or cause people angst. Maybe some abiding time will give you space to hear God's wisdom. How about you try this? Or maybe it's about, my manager is incompetent. They do not know what they're doing, God. Well, maybe you need to get some rest time and some abiding time and swing the pendulum to that side and some alone time, get in the shower and say, well, God, what's the deal? And in that moment, God might give you greater clarity of the pressures from above that those middle managers are experiencing. But he might also give you some wisdom about what to say, what to do, as you try and navigate those difficulties. So the triangle, the dimensions of your workplace, the semicircle, the rhythm of how it goes. And the final one is the learning circle, the reflective learning process. And we've already referred to this because Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's helping them to reflect on the fact that, okay, we had a healing revival last night, but instead of going back and pandering to that crowd, what we need to actually learn is to listen to what God's saying and to do that differently. You reflect on what's happening, you listen to God in the midst of that reflection, and you make a plan and you carry it out. And in the, on your app, you'll see that it's this reflective learning process essentially is two halves. The first half is the repent half, and the second half is the believe half, right? So repentance means to change your mind, to change the way you're thinking. So we're not. It's not just, this is about spiritual stuff. This works in every arena of your life. If you're going to learn from it, you need to change your thinking and make a plan to do something differently. And in the Bible, believing is always acting if something is true. So repenting is the thinking part and believing is the acting part. And so the changing of your thinking can involve observation and personal reflection and discussion with others. Changing your acting means making a plan, figuring out how you accountability for it, and then actually doing the thing. Now, that's how all the best companies actually develop stuff. They'll reflect on what's happened, what worked, what didn't work. They'll think about what they need to do differently. They'll make a plan and they'll follow through on it. Right? So this reflective learning process is deeply true for all of life and not just for spiritual life. And Jesus did these things constantly with his disciples. These three processes of balancing the dimensions of life, of living a rhythm of life and doing a reflective learning process. If you say, okay, Jesus, I want to copy you and I want to take these processes into my life, into all of my life, into my parenting, into my dealing with my aging parents, into dealing with my friends and neighbours, into my workplace, then you will find that you are filling your life more and more with Jesus as well. Framing our life in prayer, bringing God into our worries, our work and our washing up, and intentionally copying the processes of Jesus and applying the truths of them in secular and family contexts. See, following Jesus is for all of life and not just for Sundays. It'll be helpful in every aspect of our lives and not just the spiritual parts. And so I encourage you from time to time during your week to pull out the app, tap on this resource link, look at the little tool and remind yourself of the three shapes, the triangle, the semicircle and the circle. There are a few physical copies of this in the foyer if you want one of those, physical one. If you're preferring to have something that doesn't need recharging, grab one of those. And just have a go. Take Jesus into the circumstances of your life. Your life will be better for it. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give each of us a vision in our hearts of a with God life through all of the week. And Lord, I pray that you would remind each one of us of some of these things this coming week, that more and more we might find the moments of our days permeated with your presence, aware of your awesomeness, glorying in your greatness, relying on your grace and your goodness. Amen.